Hi, welcome to Cutscene, where if you're doing this right, you're about to listen to three assholes talk about an anime that you've already watched. I'm Eric.
I'm Jason.
And I'm Chris.
All right, and we are here to talk about Erased, episodes 9 through 12, the final chapters.
Yeah, finish it up.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, God. Man, oh, man, was this intense. I mean, I warned you guys all about that in the last episode, but it was all super intense.
Shit got cray-cray.
Yeah, shit got super crazy real fast, right, Jay?
Wow. No, it went way different than what you ever anyone would have thought it would have gone to. Some good things, some bad things, but overall, one of the best animes, you know, to come out in recent years, for sure.
Definitely. All right, so let's start out with Episode 9, Closure. All right, so it goes up and it starts out the way that it left off, where the mom's like breaking shit.
Total rage fest.
Yeah, total rage fest. And I don't remember when I was watching it in the subtitles, but in the dub, they kind of made her sound like she was drunk at like 5 in the morning. Just like demolishing everything.
I mean, she probably was. Let's be real.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense.
Drunk and high.
High on meth. Well, who knows though? It's like northern Japan in winter time still, so it could be like 9 o'clock in the morning for all we know. All I know is that it was dark out when it was happening.
Right. I assumed this is in like the evening. I thought that for sure. This was like after work and all that stuff like that. So
no, they went first thing in the morning. They said it at the end of the last episode of like, oh, okay, we'll meet you there in the morning. So they had breakfast and then they went and did all that shit.
Oh, you're right. I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. Yar. So the MILF proves that she is smarter than her, because where she normally like tries to like twist it around on the kids and make them think that they're stupid, the MILF's just like going to town on her. But then she pisses her off and she almost decapitates her with a fucking snow shovel, which was a little fucking intense because they even did like the blood spray on the snow.
Oh, right, yeah. But then they never showed like where she got cut or anything.
No, she got cut on the bridge of the nose.
Oh, I didn't even see it.
Yeah, it like went. So she wouldn't have gotten decapitated. She would have gotten the top part of her head cut off because it cut her like right between the eyes, right in that center section.
Which would have been perfect. Like, show over. Traumatized for life.
It's all right.
I killed my mom way earlier this time.
Her assets were all way south, so it was okay.
Oh, God. Jeez.
Sick fuck.
But so Kaio saves her by grabbing her mom and holding her around. Mom calls Kaio a retard in the dub, which I don't remember that happening, but in the sub, but I think that worked a lot better, especially considering she still sounded drunk and slurry.
So yeah, she didn't do anything like that. Like, she was totally just defending herself, like, how dare you, like, kidnap my daughter? And then, like, she was, like, really wanting to just blame them for everything and move past it. Like, didn't want to be sticking around.
Oh, yeah. Because of what happens next, where she throws Kaio off, but CPS catches up to her.
Yep.
Finally, CPS, after all these weeks, she's just been dodging CPS. They catch up, and they even call her out on it. She's like, I haven't been dodging you.
No, not me. What?
I'm a stand-up mom. I just knocked my daughter to the floor. It's our tradition.
And locking her in a shed in the middle of winter wearing nothing but a nightgown. That's normal stuff, mm-hmm. Right?
I'm Tums not the criminal up. Here. They kidnapped my daughter.
Yeah, it's puts her in the bitch. Chest.
And this 9-year-old, or sorry, this 11-year-old, he's the asshole here, not me. So then mom wants to take them all to the cops, starts dragging Kaio off, and then the grandma shows up to stop her.
Yep.
Talking about how she should have helped her, and then that's when you find out that Kaio's mom was actually in an abusive relationship, and her father just beat the living fuck out of the mom. Like, to the point to where she was, like, all bandaged up and bloodied and bruised, and that's when they left the husband, I guess.
Hooray!
Yep. Hooray! Cycle of abuse continues! Yay!
Super depressing!
So then the grandma and Kaio's mom get a nice little cry. The MILF goes over and consoles, talking about how her son is her life and blah, 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 blah. And then
Kaio's just not buying it at all.
Yeah, Kaio's just like kind of looking off to the side. She's like, yeah, whatever.
Bitch.
Yeah, fuck this whore.
Which was kind of great to see, because she was just like, I don't even give a shit. Like, whatever. And so it that really did help a little bit, because like, the whole time you're like, man, this girl doesn't really show a lot of emotion. And so you're kind of just almost like not feeling bad, but just like, man, I am going to wreck this home, you know, by breaking up this family here. And so it's just like, but then seeing her be like, this bitch, you know, that was kind of a great face to see, just because then it really solidified the fact that, like, she had zero desire to be here. I mean, obviously it was all there in the subtext, you could find it, but she was never really vocal about it. And this was really just like your first real cue of like, get out of here. I don't give a fuck.
Big ass eye roll. Fuck yep. this whore. So then he starts looking at the teacher like basically like his dad, which you kind of could have seen coming just because of the way that he's interacted with him over the last, like, you know, 7 or 8 episodes. For it.
He respects him, he trusts him, you know, so you could definitely see that the faith was growing there.
Yeah, and there's a lot of mutual admiration between the two.
Mm-hmm.
So then Kaio thanks him and leaves for grandma's house, this time for real.
Yes.
I was watching it, I'm like, oh, look, she actually went to grandma's house this time instead of going to that farm upstate to play with all the other dogs.
And then the bus came and T-boned him and killed him instantly. And then the like subtitles just came up saying, fuck you, fate, don't care. And then it fade to black. And it was
butterfly
wow.
effect.
Yeah, and then it was just anyways. 3 more episodes of just black. It was crazy. best 3 episodes ever.
So it's called Erased: Final Destination.
the last 4 episodes are just erased. They're done.
And then there's the voiceover of Kaio actually reading her essay, which was mildly like, I couldn't tell which direction they were trying to go of, like, did they change her outlook? Or was her essay always supposed to sound so cheery? Because in the dub, it like she was pretty cheery in the way that she read everything, even though it was the same words, but her tone, it conveyed a little bit more cheeriness.
It still came off super depressing to me.
Oh, it was super depressing, but the way that she read it seemed to be like a little bit more
now
cheery.
Now she's happy. She's saved.
Yeah, she's happier.
Happy depressed.
So Satoru chases after the car, you know, standard traditional like movie trope thing.
Shows, I got your gloves.
Yeah. He saved Kaio and got some sweet blue mittens. Yeah.
I would like blue.
I want a green. Jesus. That's what he was really chasing after. He was chasing after her with his mittens going, I want a green. Fuck you, you stupid bitch.
That's why he was excited to
the
find
gloves
his
don't
gloves.
Fit. You must have quit.
Oh, man.
They don't even fit. You measured wrong.
Oh, man. That's crazy.
So then he gets news that grandma got full custody and mom can't see her for a while, which is good news to hear. Maybe mom can get some fucking mental health checked up. Teacher says that Kaio's smile was Satoru's reward, and Satoru's smile was his reward.
Aww.
So sappy.
So kawaii.
So sweet. Yeah.
Super kawaii. starts planning on how to save Aya from the other school, because she's the one that he actually, like, doesn't have, like, actual ability to interact with right now.
Well, then I think, like, before that, my notes, I think it was before that, like, he asked him, like, where they hid her. I was just like, it's kind of creepy.
Mm. Yeah, he asked, he asked, like, was she hiding at your house the entire time? And he's like, no, we hit her in a place. And then, yeah, he told her it was the school bus. And
yeah, he's
yada,
like,
yada.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a good place.
Yeah.
Where I kept my shit. Yeah.
You're gonna spoil it.
Yeah, don't spoil the ending for people that have already watched the ending.
Yeah, duh. We're doing this play-by-play for the people that haven't watched it because they don't know how to do their homework.
But Chris does bring up a good point. Like, the really, really, really starts hitting hard on him now, moving forward.
Yeah, they keep dropping little hints here and there, which I don't think I noticed them as much the first time around through. So watching this again and knowing what's going to happen, I was like, oh, yeah, there's some little hints that they've been dropping in here.
I agree. I don't remember the first time watching this being like, them being as blatantly, like, obvious.
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, I thought that, like, when I, like, the candy scene, I know we're skipping ahead a little bit, but with the candy scene, I was just like, okay, now they're just, like, falsifying you here, like, making it seem like that's the way it's going to go.
Now they're just really pushing it.
Yeah, they're really pushing it. And then they're just like, oh, yeah, I'm just getting over my cigarettes and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, if that's, yeah, exactly. If that's just misdirection, then that was great. You know, that was a good job. Instead, it just ended up being directly on the nose, which was kind of annoying.
Yeah. So we didn't skip ahead that much. It's all right. So let's see here. Yeah, starts planning, starts hanging out with Yuki. Or knows that she hangs out with Yuki, sorry. So that's where he has to go with for it. Starts asking the MILF for help, and she's like, oh, I didn't really expect you to be looking for a girlfriend so quickly. And he's like, I'm not looking for a girlfriend. Well, I mean, she is a girl. He's like, how did you know? And she's like, I didn't. Psychic witch.
And he's just like, the thirst is real.
The thirst is so real.
I'm 11 years old now. I need it.
It's time for my own smut curtain. Every episode, I'm working it in.
The best part is the next anime, you're probably totally going to be able to work that in there.
Isn't that the whole point of a smut curtain is to hide this next anime?
It might be. All right. So what he knows so far after trailing her was that she hangs out with Yuki early.
Yeah, and just stalking the shit out of her.
Yeah, so here's the thing, though. Yuki seems to hang out with a lot of kids. Not like just like, oh, well, he's hanging out with kids, but it's like every kid in town, it seems like.
It's a small town, and he's like imagine like the dude that has like the cool toys, because he's like an adult, but he's still obviously very kid-hearted, you know? So like he has the cool toys, he has the cool jazz, he knows how to build a kick-ass paper airplane, whatever the reason being. So, I mean, I'm sure in a town of like 60 kids where everyone hangs out at the riverfront, it wouldn't be hard.
So he's the guy Japanese out there with the RC car?
Right, yeah. He's the older kid with the actual gas RC car that's really kick-ass. And he lets you play with the fuel sometimes, and you can burn stuff on fire. And it's like, man, this is cool. My parents would never let me do this.
You're the best, Yuki.
Yeah.
I love you, Yuki. You're my bestest friend.
He's the one with the smut curtain?
With the smut curtain.
Yeah. So he's following her. She walks out, or she gets out of cram school. He's about ready to go talk to her, and mom interrupts because she apparently has bought too much food again. So she was probably going to make, you know, another 50 gallons of curry because he's the luckiest kid ever.
This bugged me again. So then right away, they like are like complaining about being heavy, and he's helping her carry the groceries. And then the teacher comes up and she's like, oh, hey, I can give you guys a ride, right? Which is great. Yep. But then they're driving, and they're driving for a while. Like, what the fuck was the mom's plan here? Like, she's going to walk 5 miles with all these groceries?
Might have been bus.
Yeah,
she might have been, like, walking to the bus stop and saw him because, I mean, obviously, again, small town, so there's, like, the shopping district, and then there's the place where you live. So, yeah, it was probably, like, bus or something like that that they were going to do.
Good point. All right.
But that's at least my assumption. I don't know. It was also...
Because she falls asleep, too. I was just like, you don't just, like, that's a long time.
Yeah, she fell asleep in the car, which was the next thing. I think the MILF just falls asleep. And then he asked the teacher for help on how to talk to a girl and become friends with her.
She's asleep? Cool. Now I can talk about girls.
Because he needs to talk about them with his father figure, of course.
Yeah.
So then we get to where Jason said that he sees like a rapper hanging out of the glove box, goes to pull on it. The teacher goes, oh, no, don't. And then all of a sudden a bunch of candy just pops out. And he's like, oh, yeah, you figured out my secret. I love these things. I have to do it to stop smoking and keep from smoking and yada, yada, yada.
I haven't smoked in 3 years.
Yeah. So then they're each sucking on lollipops, and then the MILF's hands, like, pop up on the front. She's like, can I bum one of those? So then Kenya basically corners him and asks, says that he wants to know what's going on, and again offers to help because he wants to be a hero too.
Yay!
Which is... the first time I think that it seems like Kenya's not as with it as he was previously. Like, he just doesn't seem to be, like, having as much insight as he did previously.
He seems more like a kid now.
Yeah. So maybe the version of him that could time travel is already back in the future. We're just going to keep these weird-ass fucking, these weird-ass guesses going on about him being a time traveler as well.
makes just about as much sense, so why not? At least he didn't, like, turn into a female version.
Yeah. Oh, God. Put the little crown on him. So they go back to the him, Hiromi, and Kenya all go back to the bus. They see that there's, like, adult footprints that have been wrapped in plastic so that you couldn't see the imprints from the shoes that they were wearing. And all the stuff is gone. Like, everything's gone. The stove that they had in there, the duct tape, everything like that. And then that's when he fills Kenya and Hiromi in on, like, the fact that he's been trying to thwart a serial killer and yada, yada, yada. And all those things that just looked innocuous and weird were actually tools that he was going to use to kill somebody. So let's see here. Hiromi wants to help and believes in him. Kenya is 99% sure that it's all utter nonsense, but that 1% really makes him want to believe in everything.
Mm-hmm. Which cues a flashback to Irie.
Yep, has a flashback to his high school girl and believing. And then the other friends follow them. Then there's just that ominous ending with the bitch who sits next to him. And I put it in here, like, did he create another loner while helping the others?
Yep.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, I have. Now the bitch is alone and grumpy. New target? Question mark?
Target? Question mark.
Could
no,
be great
you,
for
you
killing.
Didn't write target question mark. You wrote the actual target emblem. Like, you just drew that in there, like, all perfect with red ink, and then put a question mark, right?
Of course.
And hearts. Don't forget the hearts.
Yeah, because we all know that Chris just writes an emoji. He doesn't type an emoji. He writes an emoji.
Would explain a lot.
It's like Charlie's lyrics from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. What is this?
So do.
All right, so that brings us to episode 10, Joy. We have a flashback to the first time that he graduated from sixth grade, right? Something like that. Whatever
yeah,
grade this
grade,
is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sixth grade. Admits he tried to forget, and he left himself a giant hole in his memory and in his heart.
Which I'm glad they finally did this, because they never really like explained like how he got through it like the first time. Like, he never really went into much detail about like, yeah, I know that my friend was brutally murdered, but I never really went into detail about it up until now about
well,
how I handled it.
That's the weird thing, because they kind of contradict themselves a little bit, because before it was the mother, or maybe it's not that they contradict, it's that he's finally remembering that it wasn't the mother that did it and it wasn't the school, he did it to himself.
Right.
Because the school and the PTA and all that, like, they all decided, but ultimately he's like, oh, it was me, I was the one that did it, I made the conscious decision to forget it all.
Right.
Yep, I suppress these feelings.
Yep. So the three approach Aya at the bus stop, and she's reading King Lear, which totally freaks out Kenya. And this is where you're like,
I hear
Kenya,
you're good at piano.
Yeah, Kenya thought that he was all hot shit, and that he was like the older, the one that always acted older than everybody else. And then all of a sudden, he's only read Romeo and Juliet, and she's reading King Lear. And then she basically starts knocking on all of them.
Yeah,
so
she's like, wait, I know where I know you guys from.
Yeah.
You know that hideout.
Been sneaking into the hideout. And then
fucking
burns them hard
kids.
By saying that they're lame.
Damn, but basic kids is what you yeah. What you is.
Then the big friend jumps out and screams, hideouts are totally macho. You should see it sometime. And guess what? That shit works. But the best part is that after that, then you get the total child comeback of Kenya just going, she's childish. So they go to the hideout, and he finally finds his gloves, so he doesn't have to wear the piece of shit ones that are too small that were made by Hinazuki. So, you know, we got that.
Yeah, they're not blue, baby blue. Good. Throw these pieces of crap
no, they're
in the
dark
garbage.
Blue. They're dark blue.
What? Yeah, not baby blue, though.
Those but so I wrote this in. Finally finds his gloves. Feel like they're not cool enough for the build-up. Because they've honestly been talking about these gloves for like 6 episodes.
I know, and they look like just work gloves.
Yeah, and they're not even gloves. They're mittens. They're like ski mittens. They're not ski gloves or anything like that. So bullshit. I call bullshit on the entire thing. This ruined the anime for me.
So unrealistic. Unwatchable.
So unrealistic. Kids not using the proper terms for things. Fuck those kids. Nope. There's more RPG talk going in the background, talking about grinding and stuff like that, and how grinding is part of the game, and it's one of the most awesome parts. Then Aya shows up at the hideout.
Yep.
And the big friend Kazu and Aya start dating.
Ooh. Well, and then I got Kazu said like, "Oh, can you stay a while?" And so I have written down the little Deckard Cain, "Stay a while and listen."
And listen, yeah. Oh, I'm glad they made it in the English dub a little bit more clear on that in the sub. It was just kind of like, hey, you should come by the thing. Okay, I'll come by the thing. Sweet. And then the next episode's like, I can't believe they're dating. And it's just like, oh, okay.
Well, you had to like really be paying attention to the rosy red that they put into their cheeks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, but it was that, definitely like, it was there, all visual but it was, cues at that they, point. They were just like, and now they're dating. That's great. It wasn't just like, oh, they like each other or anything like that. It was just like, yep, they're dating. It's good.
Yeah. I can't believe that they like each other, which they actually said that. I can't believe that they like each other.
They have three kids already. It's good.
So they all go off to go meet at the hideout, and we all now see that the bitch is lonely again.
Yep. Boo-hoo. I got bitch is still lonely.
Yeah. Bitch is alone again.
And so she says, move. I thought that was what they say in the dub one. I thought that was great. When she's just like, yeah. Move.
Move. So while they're at the hideout, Aya makes Hiromi look even more like a girl. it's so like good. One of those, like, I didn't think that was possible. Oh, wait, no, yep, mm-hmm. That's a girl now. and I love that they played more on the fact that it was a boy but looked like a girl, like,
right.
beyond just the fact that, like, they used that as a red herring for the murders. So I thought that was good. Satoru feels that he stopped the killer, but has changed too much to know what's going to happen next.
Right, so and you know that honest. The guy's not just going to be like, oh man, some unforeseen circumstances that I don't know anything better about has prevented me from getting into these three other murders that I wanted to do. I guess I'll just change my ways forever. No, they're going to be like, all right, well, I guess I'll try to kill someone else now.
Yeah.
I'm a crazy person.
So yeah, he's not sure what's going on. He doesn't know what he's gonna do. So now he's trying. Now he actually starts to try and think like the killer, which and
then, playing you know, detective.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Trying to be the boy detective that Kenya always wanted to be. All right.
And then what's his face? The girly kid kind of points out how the bitch is always alone now.
Yeah.
Ever since that one incident when. For the lunch money.
Yeah, so he thinks that the killer is looking for a substitute, and then Hiromi notices that bitch is a loner now. So, yeah, that's a good way of, like, him actually, like, you know, it's good that he has his friends and that he's actually made these friendships and he can talk with people about it because he realizes that he needs help in order to do things now. So he starts trailing the bitch Misato. Goes to the hockey game and the friends all go to the hideout. He follows her to the bathroom and gets interrupted by the teacher. Says that
chewing
he saw her
candy.
Outside. Do what?
Just chewing some candy.
Yeah, just chewing some candy outside. Swear, it wasn't smoking a cigarette at all.
Mm-hmm.
So he says that he saw her outside, but when he goes out there to look, he can't see her anymore. And all that they see is a Shinatori food truck, which was Yuki's dad. So, and they showed that earlier where it's like they ordered some food and he had food sitting next to him and it said Shiratori Foods next on the packaging for it.
Ominous.
Well, and I think that this was all thrown in to make you think that, okay, so it wasn't Yuki, but maybe it was Yuki's dad.
Well, it was also just playing off of Shoto's, like even though he knows, like, it's not Yuki or anything like that, having them, he knows that someone already tried to pin the murders on Yuki and Yuki's family or whatever. So seeing the car drive by, he's like, oh shit, maybe the murderer stored the body in the car. And that's why he's probably like, I need to chase down this car to make sure that that she's okay.
Which could be as well, yeah. So he gets into the car with the teacher, tells him what they're doing, and then the teacher reminds him to buckle up. But the buckle has issues.
Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, says I need to get that fixed.
Yeah, it says he needs here to get go that fixed. Talks about possibly using bitch as bait, because that's what he was thinking of. It's like he was telling the teacher that he was thinking of using the bitch as bait. Uses the line about filling the void in his heart from the teacher's graduation speech, and then realizes that he used the teacher's graduation speech and catches the teacher by surprise.
How they've just been playing detective.
Yeah.
That's their game.
This part, so Shannon doesn't watch anime, but she was in the bedroom while I was watching this part, and she's known, like, about what happens with Erased. So she's listening to this monologue go on, and she just keeps looking at me like, what the fuck? This guy's fucked up. So he talks about how there's no difference between good and bad deeds because both satisfy a single person. says that he's been trying to get close to someone, but being coy and even deceitful.
A girl? Trying to get a girlfriend?
Yeah, he thinks he's trying to get a girlfriend. But then he asks him if he wants a lollipop, opens the glove box, and there's nothing there. Because the teacher isn't driving his car.
Yep.
And then this is when you start getting, like, the real ominous shit. There's, like, this super menacing look on his face. He tells him whatever your happiest moment is will be replaced. And it's just... dread. The more effort you put in, the sweeter the reward. So there's just like, he's just going off on these weird monologue pieces that are
which
just like.
Which was kind of good because it kind of gives you a little bit more insight into why a lot of this stuff went down the way it did and on how Shoto was able to thwart these plans because it was, as much as he was thwarting it, he almost enjoyed being thwarted a little bit too because then it made it a little bit more of a cat and mouse game for him, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other side of this is, though, is that I was just like, ah, come on, really? Like a bit on the nose again for what I was thinking about. And then that reveal was just kind of like unsatisfying in a way, just because just like, all right, I know like after 15 years, I wouldn't be able to like recognize or remember all of my grade school teachers, but I'd probably be like, I recognize that person very much, mm-hmm. especially like walking out of your apartment after finding your mom stabbed. Right. And then when you flash back and you're just like, oh, here's this guy looks suspiciously very similar. You know, it'd have been like, okay, I can kind of be done now. So
well, he never got a really good look at him.
There were
glances, and he only knew because he saw the look on the guy's and on the guy's face. But you're talking like split second things. And 15 years, dude, I'm looking at pictures from you from 15 years ago, and you look just fatter now. But that's beside the point.
Still look 12.
Yeah, you still look 12, but like there's a lot of people that you do, and he was I think that the teacher was like 20 something, like late 20s. So 15 years, that puts him into his 40s. So there's a huge difference in age at that point. Plus he was wearing a hat both times that he did it, and he also had an umbrella in half of his face. So I could see how he didn't notice it. All right, so then he notices the laxatives that are sitting in there, and we find out that the teacher placed a laxative in the girl's drink, ordered dinner to make sure that Yuki's dad was there, because he was basically just using her as bait for whomever it was that was thwarting him. Stole the car or truck that was generic so that people wouldn't miss it, and he's actually thought about doing this before, and he says that this is the first time that he's ever actually put it into practice.
In the sub, he talked about how he had multiple cars actually already stolen and all over the town, so he could use them anytime he wanted to. This is just the first time he did.
Yeah, they didn't talk about that in the dub.
Yeah,
I do remember that now that you say that was in the sub version for it. So that's kind of like, I wonder if that had to do with the ability of matching up the words to the mouth.
Sure.
So he drives him out to a campsite, unrolls the windows. And the latch on the seatbelt is completely busted, and he says that he's not getting out of it. Teacher says, almost like you can see the future, and then he crashes the car into the river by putting a basketball on the gas pedal.
And then as it's going into the frozen lake, he yells, I know your future!
And the teacher stops.
Yep.
So then he's underwater, loses consciousness. We have a flashback of the MILF and his friend. And the film strips all start to break, and it goes black.
Yep.
Which was a great end to that episode.
Oh, yeah. It was so great. Like, just the way that they did it was just awesome. It's just, it's all black. There's nothing. The film strips that you've been seeing the entire time, that every time that he rewinds or anything like that that you see, they're all just broken and gone. Which brings us to episode 11.
Future.
Which, this is now where they've started changing the intro to the anime. So before you had, you know, like the scratches over people's eyes so that you couldn't see it. In this one, all the scratches are gone except for one key difference. There is no sign of him whatsoever. Every single shot that you see of him, either as an adult or as a kid, is completely scrubbed, and all you see is the people that he was with throughout all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a really good job of scrubbing it, too.
Well, they planned that ahead of time.
Yes, well, obviously, but I'm saying, like, they did a really good job of making sure that it all stayed the same, which, by the way, at the end of that episode where he crashes it into the water and the water is rushing in, finally brings context to that part where the water rushes into the school in the intro as well, too.
Right.
So they're finally bringing a lot of that stuff together. Like the Grim Reaper, when he talked about that before, that shows up, or that, like, you see the Grim Reaper in the intro there. So they did a lot of really good jobs of putting all the little bits and pieces into the intro, and you don't notice them until later on in the series. Right,
alluded to a lot of stuff until you knew, and it was very artistically well done, yeah.
Yeah. So now you're going to get into some more fucked up shit.
Yep. Which,
I'm glad that Shannon left the room for this part, because now it starts off with the teacher talking, and he talks about, or you see a hamster on a wheel, and the teacher's telling a story about a girl in a school that brought some hamsters in, and she said she started out with a couple of hamsters, and then they mated, and she's now ended up with too many hamsters. So he says, oh, I'll take them home, and he's in sixth grade, the same age as everybody else in the story, takes them home, fills a wine jug with water, and then drops all the hamsters in and drowns them.
Yep.
Super well-adjusted.
Yeah. So well-adjusted.
And then one survives.
Yeah.
By so floating hamster, on the dead body of another.
Yeah, just standing there on the dead bodies of his fallen brethren. Yeah, one hamster survived by standing on a drowned corpse, and he kept that hamster and named him Spice.
Oh, the spice of life.
Mm-hmm. Spice is life. Life is spice.
Mm-hmm.
All right, apparently. So he tells the Buddhist story of the spider's thread, which is this thing about sinners' redemption, climbing up the thread, then going, kicking off other sinners, and then ultimately being dropped back down to hell because he sinned again, which is kind of exactly what happens in the explosum, what's it called? Rapture Rejects thing, where the old man and the old man's got the wife hanging on. He's like, you need to move along. He's like, fuck you, bitch. Kicks her off. And then all of a sudden the rapture light turns off.
Yeah, same thing with that stupid movie, This is the End or whatever.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Hmm.
Yeah, that movie was not very good.
No, it was not. It was horrible. Worst.
So then he talks about how he saw, how he continually saw a spider's thread hanging from people. And when he saw that, he was compelled to kill whomever had it.
Yes.
So, yeah, super well adjusted.
Super well.
Totally not seeing shit.
Not crazy at all.
Yeah, so they cut back to the I Know Your Future part. Says he didn't die in the river. He nicknamed Satoru Spice now as well. And he kept an eye on him throughout his recovery.
And then they say, I don't know if they said it in the dub one, but in the sub one, he's just like, and I'm telling this all to you, Satoru. All creepy, like whispery. Yeah. Like, super, so obviously when he creepy. Pulled him out of the river or whatever, and was just like, I'm telling it to you. And
I don't know if he pulled him out of the river or not, because they never actually showed that. Like, how did he get out and how did people find him? How did he survive or anything like that? Yeah,
he
just
said he survived.
Yep.
Yeah, and he didn't say that he pulled him out, because, I mean, if he wanted to kill him, would the only reason that he did it, or that he pulled him out, be because of the fact that he said that that he knew his future?
No, and to refute my own statement here, it's like he liked Spice, the hamster, because he survived on his own against the odds, right?
Yeah.
Right. So obviously something happened where Satoru survived despite the fact that he tried to kill him. And that's why then the teacher was like, all right, I'm going to keep this guy around as like my pet project or whatever.
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking too. So then we get the opening credits, which is all empty. Everyone else is in there, but Satoru's gone. Eyes aren't scratched off. It's the first real clean intro that we have. Waiting to go up to the next one where you get an actual clean intro. It now shifts to the MILF. And the MILF is just working in a convenience store. And she seemingly lives alone. And she remembers him telling her about how she doesn't have to switch trains to get to whatever it's called. And
she's
wondering
like, wait,
why
did he
that
say
happened.
That?
Yeah. Why would he say that? That's so weird that he would say something like that.
Because he's from the future. She doesn't know that. He's a fucking yokai, man.
Yeah. So you see that it's 2003 at this point, and then he's in bed in a coma. One day she's just sitting in there cooking and all of a sudden just walks into the room where he's at and his eyes are open and she starts crying and she's like, good morning.
Yep. He's been in a coma for 15 years.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. Talk about raw deal. Like,
yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. So the projector starts up again. Some of the film strip starts moving and he's been in a 15-year coma. But the cool part that they
film
did.
Film strip's all cloudy though.
Yeah. The cool part that they did for this that I thought. That I don't remember it happening in the sub, which it probably did in the original, is that the kid is narrating now.
Yeah, yeah. That's what they did in the sub, too. The kid's narrating the inner monologue because he still identifies as a child because now this is his life, not the other way around where he identifies as an adult living in a kid's body. It's now
right.
This is his life is.
Any of that shit.
Right.
Yeah, so the MILF was helping out, doing everything that she could so that everything... so that his body wasn't fatigued, so that he didn't have atrophy. Yeah, she had one of those electric stimulant systems that she hooked up to his muscles to keep them moving as well. So she was doing a lot of stuff to make sure that, you know, her son, that when he finally came out of the coma, would be able to move around and his body wouldn't be atrophied.
Tons of faith and hope right there, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, but that just proves... The MILF is awesome.
The MILF is awesome.
So the MILF good. Is the awesomest. All right.
Best girl.
Best girl. Yeah. Best MILF girl, best girl.
Best MILF? Definitely best MILF.
Yeah, definitely best MILF.
Yeah, definitely best MILF. His memories are jumbled. He doesn't feel weird, but he knows that he knows like bigger words and he knows things that he really shouldn't. Being that he got in a car accident when he was in sixth grade. Kenya and Hiromi visit. Kenya's a lawyer, and Hiromi's studying to be a doctor. So that's cool. And Hiromi no longer looks like a girl. So, you know.
Just fat.
Do what?
He's just fat.
Yeah,
he's just fat.
He put on a little weight.
So mom asked them to not ask too much and not talk about too much of what happened that day. Which, you know, goes back to the mom wanting to scrub things from him and stuff like that, make sure that he didn't think about things. So mom's being actually a little bit too overprotective, in my opinion. Starts physical therapy, but then he sees Kayo and a baby. Finds out that she's married to Hiromi, so now Hiromi's been sticking it to Kayo for a while.
Yeah, he started crying, too, when he saw them.
Yeah.
So then
he saw the little baby.
He's like, okay.
He's like,
so it's starting to click.
Yeah. So they said, she said that they felt wrong about getting together, but he has no regrets about everything that happened. So he's like, I'm perfectly fine. Don't worry about it. I know that I saved you, and that's all that matters. The baby starts crying. He holds up his hand, and the baby touches it, and he starts drawing. So he's got a little notepad that he's drawing, and he draws a picture of Kyle with the baby.
Yeah, I think when he kind of touches the baby's hand, there seemed to be something that clicked there for him. I think that's when he started to get his memories back now.
Yeah, that is what it seemed like for it. And I was trying to figure out because it seemed like he auto drew that picture and was like, huh.
I can draw pretty well. This is weird.
And then all of a sudden, the MILF walks in and he hides the book. And I was like, well, what the hell? Why is he hiding the book? That, you know, that doesn't make a lot of sense. MILF then lets you know that he has paparazzi, apparently. So she closes all the windows.
I mean, in a coma for 15 years and then waking up, kind of get known.
Yeah, people are going to know you here in these small towns that we lived in. So then he asks to double his rehab. Doctor gets a call from somebody, and he doesn't seem too happy about what the person's asking, and is basically like pushing back.
Yeah, he's like, but his memory should come back pretty soon. He's like, no, he's not a guinea pig.
Yeah, which I don't know what that was talking about either, as far as like the guinea pig and like doing things to make his memory come back or anything like that.
Yeah, maybe some experimental drug. And I disagree. I think that when he did touch the baby, he did get his memories back 100%.
He did. They talk about that later, Jason.
Well, who gives a fuck? They've already watched the episodes. We don't have to like be non-spoilerific about this. Like, Jesus.
Now it just makes when he touches the baby, we find out later that that's when his memories all came back.
Good. Yeah. Let's be truth. Let's speak the true.
So the reporter pushes himself really hard, and there's a little girl that's watching him that gets all excited when he makes it all the way to the end. The reporter and Kenya show up, and they want to talk to him, and they don't get like as far as they would like to, apparently.
You probably don't remember me at all.
Yeah. He's like, you probably don't remember me. And then he talks about how he's like, oh yeah, I was at, you know, like I used to work with your mom. She's like, he wouldn't remember that. That was like 25 years ago or 3 weeks ago, you know, depends on how you look at things.
I remember when you were young and when you're old.
So he talks to the little girl. She apparently needs a bone marrow transplant. Tells her his secret to getting courage, which is just, you know, sucking it up and being a real person. And then the paparazzi are there. They show up, and they have like the grossest fucking thing where they're like, oh yeah, he wakes up 15 years later from his coma, but he still likes little girls. Yeah, let's sell that to the tabloids.
Right. Yeah. Like, just so like, okay, wow, why be so aggressively like, fuck off. Like, yeah, I just couldn't understand why they were like had such a hard on for like ruining this guy's life already when the story alone is amazing. Why sensationalize it? Right? Yeah.
Oh, he's talking to a little girl that has me in the hospital with him. Like, right? Yeah. Fuck off.
Yeah.
So they get stopped by the teacher who shows up, find out that he remarried and changed his name, which is the reason why when you saw him earlier, when he was talking to the pizza store manager, that his name was completely different.
Right.
Yep. And he's a councilman now.
Yep. Which he was in the previous future as well.
Right. So that stayed the same.
Yeah, council member like before says he looked forward to the day for 15 years. Montage of hospital life with teacher wearing gloves. Then leaves phone in the little girl's room.
Yeah, Kumi.
Asks to talk with Satoru away from the reporters.
In private.
Yeah, in private.
Hey, let's talk in private away from the paparazzi.
With my murder gloves on.
Mm-hmm. Let me push your wheelchair.
Do you normally wear black leather gloves everywhere you go? No. Cool.
Only when I'm going to kill people. Yeah. I mean, when it's cold out.
These are totally my driving gloves.
It's really cold in this hospital.
It's nice to wear these black leather gloves inside.
So they head up to the roof. Teacher starts tapping his finger again. Tells the teacher that he remembers everything, and that he was going to get him, his son of a bitch. And the teacher looks at him and sees the thread again at the top of his head.
Ooh, spider thread. Yeah, really cool on how they even tricked us all, that it was just like, oh, that's when he got his memories back. Like, it was really cool for them to, like, build that in, and then having him explain it now. It's just like, nope, I've known for a while, and I've been doing whatever I can, and I figured it all out, and...
And fuck you.
Yeah, and fuck you, and even though your story's kind of silly, and I'm glad to hear you didn't kill anyone else for these last 15 years, because otherwise this all would have been kind of a waste.
So So then you get to episode 12, Treasure, where they go back to talking with Kaio, and you see that as soon as he touches the baby, that's when all of his memories come back. And then they show the intro right after that happens, and the intro is 100% completely unedited. He's back in it, no crossouts of the eyes or anything like that. It's the first time you see the intro, and it's 100% entirety. So then they get back to it. He's talking with the guys.
Start to creak open.
Do what?
There's like a little gate on the roof start to swing open.
Oh yeah, while he's talking.
Yeah.
So you go back to him, and he's talking with Kenya and Hiromi. Kenya asks him a question. He looks at the look on his face, and he immediately knows that he remembers, and he tells him that he wants to help again because Kenya apparently still has a hero complex as well too. Kenya and the reporter have been working together for a while. He remembers Irie and then tells them who the killer was. So he starts going through everything that he's now remembered for it. Flashback to him thwarting his plans.
And surprise, surprise, the bitch actually helped raise money to pay for his hospital bills.
Yeah,
and
that's
she was
right.
Actually supposed to stop by and see him soon.
Yeah, I forgot about that. The crazy bitch that he was going to help at the end, but never actually did. So it's like, why did that happen?
Well, she was trying to atone for her original issue of trying to blame the money issue, you know, type thing. So she probably was trying to help out in her own different way.
Could be.
Yeah.
Definitely could be.
But that was definitely a shock to him. It's like, wait, she's going to stop by? Yeah, she actually was the one trying to raise money to pay for your hospital bills. I'm like, huh.
Interesting. Yeah.
Huh. Thought she hated me.
So then they go back to the present-ish. So they go back to him talking on the roof. How's that? the teacher and killer, we'll just call him the killer now, knows that he has a phone in his pocket that's dialed into Kenya.
Yep, he's like, I knew you remembered, bitch.
So he makes him take the phone out, hits, you know, turns it off for it. But then this is when he tells that he hasn't killed since he died. It's like the urges just weren't there. But as soon as you came back to life, the urges were there. But they did show him trying to, like, he says that he never tried to murder him, but then they show him literally try to murder him in the hospital room, and he just can't bring himself to do it.
Yeah, but he never did it. I mean, there's a difference between, like, contemplating and really thinking about it and then trying.
Well, I mean, you put the knife up to the guy's neck, you're still trying to murder the guy, but then your body wouldn't let
you. He was shaving him. He was being nice and shaving him. That was the cover. And then he was just like,
it was
stood there.
It was a scalpel.
Like, I'm going to...
You don't shave with a scalpel.
It was a straight-edge shaving thing, Majigger.
Not everybody has
a barber
three
too,
hairs on their face like you do, Jason.
Yeah. Well, you know, if I had been in bed forever, maybe.
You'd have four.
Maybe. I'd have four, and they would need a straight edge.
They could pluck them.
You'd need it. That might wake them up. That'd be rude.
Yeah, and he kind of explains, like, statute of limitations. Been 15 years. You can't get me for any of that shit back then.
Yeah. Talks about how he's gonna frame the little girl's murder on him. He put a muscle relaxer under IV before surgery so that as soon as she went under the knife, she'd die.
And put his fingerprints on it, on the IV.
Yeah, put his fingerprints on the IV, had, like, emails going back and forth between phones, like, all sorts of shit. Then he takes the phone and then starts sending an email to the MILF. Which then there's...
Apologizing and claiming a suicide and all that good stuff like that.
Because he felt bad for killing Kumi.
Yeah, there's a flashback to the MILF. Tells her he's going to take life head on. Re-says the speech that the teacher says to him and tells him that he's filled the void. Says that he beat him by saving everyone. And the teacher starts getting, like, agitated now.
And they have a great line in the sub that says... you filled the hole inside me. And I was just like, my God.
Yeah, they thankfully used void instead of hole.
it was great.
Hey, man, you got to pay the troll toll to get in that boy's hole.
Oh, God.
That's what he was really doing there with that straight edge.
Oh, Jesus. And then he says that he could have killed him anytime he wanted to, but he filled his void as well. So... Satoru says that he filled the killer's void. So there's a lot of hole filling here.
A lot of hole filling.
Yeah, like he...
Lots of dudes filling each other's holes.
Yeah, he rushes his wheelchair over the edge, but then he stops and's like, yeah, you can't kill me, can you?
Yep, and the teacher grabs it, and he's like, ugh. He's like holding onto the wheelchair, just like literally like just barely dangling off the roof. And then, let's see here, teacher says that he could kill him. They have this like big conversation, and then the teacher just drops him off the roof.
Like, you're like, I can't live without you, and I don't want to do this anymore, so I'm just going to kill you now and then be done with it. So
he drops him. And then he goes to kill himself.
And then says, oh.
Yep, there's a drop bag there, and Satoru's just sitting there like this, just like, hi.
Kaio's there, the poor's there, they're all there like, haha, bitch, we got you.
Yep, and then he sees the threat in himself when he looks in when he looks into a puddle for it. And then he gets charged with attempted murder.
Which but the thread disappears, too, which was interesting.
Oh, did the thread disappear? I didn't notice that
part. Thread disappeared from his own head. As if he's just going back to hell.
But yes, he is. Right. And he deserves it. But I feel like he needs a lot more than attempted murder, which sucks. Because it's just attempted murder. It's not like he'll be away that long.
Yeah. Did they ever go into if he killed anybody before the kids in with the 1988?
He'd done it multiple times before that. That's like everything that they hinted at before of like the other town that it happened in for it.
He did all that stuff because in this reality he technically hasn't killed anybody, but yeah, if he did it before, then yeah.
Yeah, the town before.
Yeah, so he did it before.
We got you on attempted murder and trespassing and smoking a cigarette in a non-smoking zone. You're going away for 3 years, buddy.
Damn. So then,
how much is parole? $50.
Everything behind your smut curtain.
Yeah, everything.
I'm a stinksman. What's it for me? Nothing. Forever.
You get off for free. You probably have the best lawyers in town. Sounds like entrapment to me. You're off scot-free. Here's a gun.
And a horse. For those of you who don't know, there is still a law on the books in Arizona that when you get released from jail, you can request a horse and a gun. All right, so he has a blank spot. And then there's this. Then he starts reciting his own version of A Town Without Me, which is kind of cool because then they show him like as a kid, then meeting up with his friends, and it just talks about how like the town without him, all of his friends survived, and they were able to live their lives, and he was super happy about that.
Yep.
Then they move forward to it's about 2010. That is his
treasure.
Yeah, that's his treasure, which is the name of the episode. Yep.
And then the overarching storyline from it, from what I gathered from that, is that, like, in the past, he was, like, just kind of there and not really, like, a best friend to anybody. It was just, like, you know, all that good stuff like that.
Yeah,
and
they
like,
do this that whole superhero
change, right, this thing. Whole change made him and his friends become a lot closer together. And so now he has a good group of friends where before he didn't, and I think that's what the main change on that was.
Yep. Yeah, and he basically, like, he was talking about how he wants a group of friends and he wants to belong and everything like that. So now that's there.
Yeah, that's real friends now.
Yep, they're his real friends, they're his family, they're everything that he always wanted.
They're the true.
Because nothing's truer than the true.
That's right.
All right, so now we flash forward to 2010. He's working as a mangaka, but he's actually successful with it. He's doing really well. They're making an anime out of it. And he's never had a revival since. Goes to Hokkaido with all of his friends, sees Yuki and the bitch. The bitch shows up to the bar with them. What's his name? The fat guy, like, really likes to drink. he's apparently the party animal out of the group for it. And then they go, him and Yuki go to the school, and they are the 2010 national hockey champions.
That was the
1988 national hockey champions, 2010 national hockey champions.
They just needed to flash that like 50 more times.
Yes. Oh God, yeah. But that's the best part is that they like sit there and they're like, oh yeah, people really need to read this part. that it's 2010 as well, that they're the national hockey champions for this year, too.
This school is really good at hockey.
It's like the best school for hockey.
We talked
every
about
time that
once.
You're going to see this school, they just won the national hockey championship. It's only twice, but still. So then they show him working in his little manga studio, and he's got a couple of employees. Goes to take a break for a walk. Sees
his old boss.
He sees the pizza manager.
Yep.
Yeah, he sees his old boss riding around on his little three-wheeled scooter. Reads his essay about not being able to make the first move and watching Wonder Guy, which was like his real essay for it. One of the things that I saw that was really cool is that on that like tunnel underpass that he's standing under, because he goes and he sits underneath the underpass that they were talking or that they were at before in like episode 4, and there's graffiti of RE on it, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, that was cool. And
then you see the blue butterfly, and he follows the blue butterfly because he's doing like that little like camera thing where he's like looking for scenery, and it stops on Irie, who's no longer illegal. Because now it's 2010. She's in her 20s.
That's right.
Yeah. She's like, hey, can I hang out under here with you? Till the storm passes?
Can I hang out in here with you? I mean...
Under the bridge?
Looks like you got some hole to fill.
You just gotta see him tear up a little bit.
Can you fill my hole? I mean... So that was Erased.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty good.
As good, better, not as good as you remembered it.
Not as good as I remembered it for me. I think being able to watch it fresh and new, the suspension was there a lot better, and it had me a lot more guessing. Obviously, knowing the future, I couldn't like speculate as much, and so I think that removed a lot of the enjoyment for me, and unfortunately forced me to look for holes instead, which is kind of annoying. I mean, I enjoy
holes
that anyway.
Fill.
But yeah, holes to fill. You know, that's obviously the whole point of this anime. So, still awesome anime, though. Still one of the best ones that's come out in recent years as far as like a non-ongoing and just like a short-run murder mystery. It's still very enjoyable, though.
Chris, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, some of the suspense was kind of gone, knowing who the killer was and how it's gonna play out, but it's still really fucking good.
Yeah,
still really.
That was, I think,
it.
The worst part was rewatching it and knowing who the killer was the entire time.
Yeah.
And it's that's the problem with any suspense thing is like the mystery's gone like completely. Mm-hmm. You know what the plot twist is. You know that Bruce Willis is dead the entire time. It's like once you see that, then you're like, oh. But it was good because. Knowing that, I picked up on a lot more visual cues that they gave that I didn't pick up on the first time.
Right, so, and that's why I think I thought it was way more on the nose this time than last time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it didn't feel like that, though, when you were watching it. Like, it just felt like they were trying to give you red herrings and weird stuff was going on, whereas they were, like, hitting you in the face with it hardcore of, like, this is the motherfucking killer. For like an entire episode's worth of time.
Yeah.
It's him. It's this guy. This guy right here.
No, it's not. It's not that guy. It wouldn't be that guy. Oh shit, it's that guy.
He's like, well, the signs were all there, but I just didn't want to believe it because he was my teacher. He was my father figure.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, and he saw his name on that list, but he also saw his mom's name on the list, so he thought it was just a bullshit list, and that he didn't think that was actually a good list to go off of.
Yep, very true.
All right.
What about you, Eric? What did you think?
I thought it was great. Like I said, it was hard watching it and getting as much out of it, knowing who the killer was. But again, seeing some of the visual cues that were in there that I missed the first time, that literally were punching you in the face of, this is the killer, this is the killer, this is what's going on. I thought that was actually really cool because it's just like watching any movie. Like after you watch it a couple of times, you start noticing a bunch of different things. I will say... Still, hands down, way better than the Netflix TV or like live action adaptation.
Well, yeah,
of course.
I mean, that adaptation was actually good up until the last two episodes. It followed the anime pretty well. The way that they changed the entire like ending of it, though, to the whole showdown, where it takes place, what happens within that, they focus too much on the showdown and not enough on the people that were in it, which I think that the anime does a better job, hands down. All right, so we have now finished off our first series.
What are we watching next, Eric?
Oh, so next we're gonna watch Asobi Asobase, Workshop of Fun. So this is on Crunchyroll.
Sounds fun.
It's supposed to be a lot more regular anime-ish. It's on Crunchyroll under Slice of Life and Comedy. I believe that it just finished on there because episode 12 is supposed to be episodes in an OVA, but I don't know if Crunchyroll is going to get the OVA that goes with it. And OVAs usually don't really have anything pertaining to the actual story in a lot of cases. So it's Slice of Life Comedy, and it's got a 4.8 out of 5 on Crunchyroll right now. But the synopsis is, Olivia is a blonde-haired beauty who was born and raised in Japan, but can't speak any English. Despite always acting serious and as an intellectual, Kasumi is a bespectacled girl with short hair who also can't speak English. Okay. Finally, there's the pig-tailed Hanako, who's cheerful but can't seem to become a normie. The three middle schoolers end up making a players' club. The ultimate cute, ultimate fun, and hilarious teenage girls comedy is about to begin. So that's right, people. We are doing an abrupt 180 from the most, like, horrifically tragic child murder mystery to a bunch of teenage girls playing games.
God. The embarrassment levels are going through the roof.
Oh, the embarrassment level is going to be so great.
Jesus.
From everything that I have seen of this anime... if you don't want your significant other to think weird things about you, you should probably watch it alone.
Oh, God. This isn't going to be, like, some Yuri shit, is it?
I don't know. No, it's not going to be Yuri. So it's, like, each episode has four titles to it, so I don't know how they're broken up. If it's, like, broken up into small things like Himalto Umuro-chan, it's probably not, like, as small as Pop Team Epic. But, like, the first episode is Equivalent Exchange, Cheap Thrills, Pleasure Seekers, The Kind Pervert.
Oh, my God. So, we got 10 minutes. This is going to be a shit show. All right, cool. I'm looking forward to it.
Yay.
You're going to love it, Jason.
I like the comedies. It's true.
Oh, yeah. You love the comedy aspect for it. And I'm pretty certain that this is actually going to be freaking hilarious. So if it's not, we're really sorry, people, but we've already chosen it. We're going to watch all 12 episodes. So either get ready to buckle up and hear some great commentary, or get ready to buckle up and hear us rip onto it for like 3 episodes.
That's great. I'm excited just because none of us have seen it. And that'll be like probably the best part about this and the real test for this podcast of cutscene-ness.
Just watching some random shit.
Watching some random shit and then talking some random shit about it. Podcasting is the future.
Definitely beware, people. This is subtitled only, so you will not be able to find a dub anywhere for it. But we will be covering episodes 1 through 4 of Asobi Asobase, Workshop of Fun. That's A-S-O-B-I.
I'm sure you can just search Workshop of Fun.
A-S-O-B-A-S-E. Mm-hmm. If you just search A-O-S... Yeah, A-S-O-B-I on Crunchyroll, you'll find it. Actually, there's 2 of them that come up with Asobi.
Oh, my God.
So just look for the one that's got the 3 girls on the front.
Oh, my God. That's like it. All of them.
No, the other one doesn't. If you look up, hang on, I'm going to pull it up right now just so that I can. Oh, man, it's like the first one is Asobi Asobase. I'm sorry. There's 3 of them. Oh, shit. One of them does have 3 girls on it. But it's 2 brunettes and a black-haired girl. No blonde.
Oh, my Lord.
But then the other one is... that's Asobi ni Ikuyo, Bombshells from the Sky. And then Kamigami no Asobi.
Oh, my and Lord.
Oh, wow. I just looked this up,
what's
too.
The subtitle again?
Workshop of fun.
Just search for that.
I don't know. Let's see if Workshop of Fun comes up. Oh, yeah, there we go. Workshop of Fun. If you just type in workshop, it's the only one that comes
there
up.
There we go.
So we'll go with that. All right. So if you liked hearing us talk about Erased or didn't like hearing us talk about Erased, let us know. Obviously, as always, give us 5 stars if you can on iTunes. That is the one where it's rated. Subscribe to us on Google Play. You can also find us at Facebook, iBeatItFirst.com, Twitter, iBeatItFirst, everything other than Facebook is iBeatItFirst.
Yep. So you can send us an email to anything at iBeatItFirst.com as well. And while we're talking about
anything at iBeatItFirst. Yeah.
And while we're talking about iBeatItFirst, we also have another podcast for iBeatItFirst.com directly, which is about video games and other nerd shit. So if you enjoyed having us talk a little bit more cognitive with cutscene, you can definitely listen to us on iBeatItFirst, where we're just rambling nonstop.
Just be aware, there are some really drunk episodes. Really drunk. Severely drunk episodes in some cases, right, Chris?
Yep, mostly me.
All right, well, thanks a lot, everybody, and we look forward to working with you on Asobi Asobase.
Mucha fun!
Yay!
Bombshells in the sky!
Oh my god, there's that whole scene with the spanking bit. It's just gonna be fucking hilarious.
Oh my god.
You watched it, right, didn't you?
No, I'm not. I didn't want to watch anything.
Oh my god. Oh dear god. Oh man, no. This has to be shown.
No.
Yes.
No. Why are you sure that I'm gonna go to the bathroom?
Okay. Oh man. Oh, there it is. Oh, and of course it's in Spanish.
Jesus.
This is one of the games that they have to play.
Kazumi-san, ima no te kagen shita ne.
あなたの覚悟伝わりました。
Oh my god.
And that's what you've gotten yourself into, Jason.
Sounds good.
I can't believe you didn't watch that video when I first sent it around. Oh man.
You probably sent it at, I'm gonna stop recording. You probably sent it while I was at work, and I was like, I'm no better than to.
It might have been while you were at work. Alright. Alrighty.
Sounds good.
All right. Hi, welcome to Cutscene.
I was still talking.
Jesus.
I was like, I sat there for like a solid like 3 seconds.
I was still stretching. Still getting, still getting prepped. Gotta get that action going.
Stop looking at Bowser.
Yeah, stop looking at Bowserette,
man. Bowserette. That's what it really is all about.
That is what podcast. The internet really is all about right now. Mm-hmm. It's just Bowserette. Bowserette all the time.
Day. All right. Okay, I guess we can go now.
Hi, welcome to
Fuck your face.
Jesus.
All right. I'm sorry. No more. All right.
You can't do this shit when you're in Bulgaria, man. We're going to be on borrowed time over there.
Yeah, that'll be rough.